Hi, this is George.
Hi, it's Donna.
And this is Currently with George and Donna.
Hey, George. I know something about you that everyone else might not know. You are not actually from New Orleans, are you?
No, I'm not.
Oh my gosh, where are you from?
New York.
New York City.
New York City. Yeah, I'm from New York originally. You slowly but surely convinced me to come down to New Orleans.
Yeah. George and I started to date because I actually moved to New York City after Hurricane Katrina happened.
Katrina.
And we started to date after I was there about a year or so. And then slowly but surely, I started bringing George down to New Orleans to meet the family, to hang out for Mardi Gras, to get married, because we got married in New Orleans.
We did.
And then he fell in love. Yeah, we got married in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
That's the way everybody says it down here, New Orleans.
Okay, so what's the correct pronounce? Because I say New Orleans, and then...
Yes.
That's the right one?
If you are a local, you say New Orleans.
But then sometimes I say like New Orleans.
That is not right.
And then New Orleans is just not even.
No, that's not right.
But I like New Orleans.
New Orleans. No, don't do it. Don't do it anymore. It's just not right.
I'm Nola right now. I'm like on Nola. I really like the Nola.
Okay.
Saying like Nola. Nola.
So, what was the number one thing that actually flipped your burger and made you decide to go ahead and come down here, move down here for good?
Actually, believe it or not, it was when we started following football. Because you're from New Orleans, so you got me from New York into football.
Yeah.
And so we went to that Bar None. Remember, like, the one bar playing Saints games?
Yes, there was a bar in New York City on the Lower East Side that was just full of Saints fans.
Yeah, half Saints fans, and then the front half was Vikings fans.
Yeah.
I wonder how it was for, that game.
Oh, my goodness. To be a fly on the wall. To be a bar fly. Oh, is that where that comes from? Bar fly?
I don't know.
Anyway.
This is not an episode about, like, but that would be a cool episode.
That would be a great episode about where do certain sayings come from. But that's another day, folks.
That's another day.
Today we're talking about how George moved down to New Orleans and what he loves about it.
And so we're just watching football and I'm like, okay, cool, Saints and New York Giants. And Peyton Manning was like on the monitor every 5 seconds, Tom Brady. And then when the Saints were playing and we did something really well, the Who Dat chant.
Happened. Oh, yes.
And I was like, what is going on? This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so that hooked me in. I started learning about football, understand the different teams, divisions, and things like that. And then you come down here, and it's like Saint Country, and it's like a football town. And growing up, you don't have that like in New York. Like, it's not like... Not everybody's like a Giants fan or like... I guess you get a little bit more with baseball, like New Yorkers, New York Yankees or Mets fans. But there's not like a community because it's so spread out. There's so many people there. There's a lot of transplants, people moving in and out. So there's not like... You only see in the movies. So when I saw that and that kind of community down here... It's like something out of a movie where people like have the flags outside of their homes, you know, the Saints flags and things like that. So that was one of the main things that got me into wanting to come here and be part of New Orleans.
Very cool. So let's talk about food for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you were in New York City, when I met you, if I even showed you a picture of a pepper, a jalapeno pepper... You would scream like an old granny for me. Like, get that up out of here. You don't want anything spicy.
This my culture in New York, we don't have spicy things up there. It's like very rare for people to do spices. And then when they do spicy, it's like atomic hot wing spice, like burn your mouth. And like people get a rush out of that. Which
like
is
a novelty?
Kinda, yeah, like a novelty. And I just never like spicy food or anything like that.
Yeah, well, in New York, I feel like it's an amalgamation of different foods. Mm. So there will be spicy things, but it's the authentic version of, like, that Indian dish or the authentic version of that Korean dish. that ends up being spicy. But Cajun spice is a little bit different.
Yeah, it's, I'm learning it's a lot more manageable. It really does help the food. It's not there to burn your mouth, so you can't taste a single thing after.
No, because we all about the flavor down here. You gotta be able to taste it.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But I do remember my first crawfish experience. Down here, crawfish is a big deal, crawfish season. And you were very hyped about it. We came down to your mom's house. And you guys put the newspaper and the pile and the sausage and the crawfish and things like that.
You guys, George picked up his first crawfish like it was a dead puppy. Like, he did not know what to do with it. He was equal parts, like, horrified and mesmerized and asked me how to peel it
again. It was a hot day. There were, like, mosquitoes all up in my face. And you guys were just, like, happy as little clams outside.
Yeah, because crawfish.
So I didn't get that. And so, you know, I kind of left a little bit like, I didn't understand. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I cannot wait for crawfish to just like crack them and be, it's a very big community building thing out here.
Mm-hmm. Safe to say it tickled your fancy.
It tickled my fancy.
Okay.
So we got football, we got food, that's a big thing.
Well, I will say, and at the time that we are recording this, Mardi Gras is about a week away. Actually, it's exactly 1 week away. Mm. King cake. Y'all. I feel like you get to eat crawfish a little bit more often because crawfish has like a season that spans a couple of months, you know, a few months. King cake season is like a couple of weeks, I feel like, maybe a month. So,
yeah, I feel like
he hasn't had it enough to fall in love with it. Yeah. He's not a big sweets person anyway. So I'm still trying. You guys, say a prayer for him to fall in love with king cake. He'll eat it if he has to, but he's still not 100% on board. Why is that?
Like, when it's surprised, like, when people are like, king cake, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So that's back around. I'm not, like, looking forward to it. Like, crawfish, football season, I'm looking forward to. We'll talk about Mardi Gras here in a second. But king cake, I'm just, I can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the last thing before I'm like, before I could get my lower back tattoo that says New Orleanian.
Uh-huh.
That everybody has, right?
Yes, everybody does have that. Every single one of us has that.
I'm under the impression I'm getting a lower back tattoo after I like love king cake.
Yeah, totally. You can't see mine because even though we've been married for 8 years, I usually keep mine strategically covered at all times. So you just haven't seen it, but it's there.
It's really, really low.
It's very low. And it's very tiny. So you would really have to, you'd have to get all like, in there.
You're done.
Uh-huh.
But the last major thing that I love about New Orleans, I mean, there's a lot to love, but Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is the parades. In New York, we had that Thanksgiving Day parade, which we went to. We went to one.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
It was horrible. We were in a crowd of people kept bumping into us, like, too tight. Then the parades would come by, only the floats. I don't remember really, like, marching bands. And then it was really cold. It was just not, like, I didn't get it. And so I had that picture that parades were like that.
Right. The major difference is that you have to get up with the rooster's crow to get to the Thanksgiving Day parade.
To get a bad spot.
To get a bad spot, yes. Because there's 87 trillion people that live in Manhattan. Yeah. And they all want to go to this doggone parade for some reason. And then you got people flying in from other places to come to see this parade. You get up super early, you dredge through the city, you get on public transportation, it's cold still, or it's beginning to get cold, yeah. I should say, in November. It's beginning to get cold outside, it's usually overcast. By this time, it's 2:37 in the morning, you're on the subway trying to get to the parade. Then you have a big old Snoopy that was stitched together in 1952.
Droopy.
You got Droopy flying through the air, and then you'll have like an old busted looking Elsa from Frozen that is like,
And it's kind of like tilting off to the side. Like the guys holding it are trying to stop it from leaning over. Like, because it just wants to go to sleep. Elsa just wants to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Her eyelids are dropping, and she's just.
So these things that get stitched together and blown up, like.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. So you, okay. There's no alcohol because you can't have any wine or anything out on the street. Not that you need that, but it's a different vibe altogether that early in the morning when it's chilly, when no one's saying anything. It's for the most part silent.
Yeah, really
so
silent.
So that's super eerie.
And then the like tallest guy always gets in front of you, not in front
yes.
of me.
No, George and I could be standing shoulder to shoulder, and this guy comes over, like Manute Bol's grandson, who's like 7'8", comes over, and will stand right in front of me. Not in front of George, but
right in front of you.
Right in front of me. It's like they don't even see me. You know what? That's another topic for another day, too.
What?
Currently, I'm still short.
I would love to hear that episode.
But yeah, so there's a different vibe. So Mardi Gras parades, though. George, do you have a hat?
Yeah.
Hold on to it. Mardi Gras parades are just this live animal. That's so much fun. Everybody's having a great time, for the most part. Everybody just wants to have fun.
Yeah. So my experience with it is only what you see on TV, which is like the ridiculous part. You know, people throwing up their shirts for beads and stuff like that. And it's, like, not like that at all.
It's really
That is,
not.
Like, really, like, overly dramatized. I've seen people try to do that, and security stops them. Because it's, like, maybe, like, one parade on Bourbon Street, like, the one street that nobody, unless they're looking for trouble, goes down, doesn't do that. So that was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was just how fun it was. We went, we got grandstands, which means a place to sit and like you're kind of elevated off the floor. And you usually have like a porta potty or something like that in your section that you can use, which was really nice. That was my first experience. And they're just throwing these beads. These floats come by. And what really surprised me was in between the floats, the marching band.
Oh, they're awesome.
Oh my God, that was so good. They play usually sometimes popular music or something unique, and they just go all out dancing, and the bands are like really giving it. They're all giving a show. So that was another surprising thing about parades.
I actually marched in parades when I was in high school.
Cool.
It's sort of like a rite of passage. It's just something that you do.
Did you hear how I said that? Oh, cool. Like, I never knew that.
Yeah, but you totally knew that.
I just felt like in the podcast, it's like I'm interviewing you or you're interviewing me. It's like, oh, that's interesting.
I never knew that about you. We are strangers getting
We're
to know
already
one another.
Podcast personalities.
Yes, we are. We still need to come up with names, by the way. And that's for another day,
yeah,
too. Gosh, there's so many other things to
we
do
are gonna
on other
keep
days.
You entertained. For the 20 or so minutes you give us every single week or midweek.
I thought you were going to say the 20 years that we're going to be doing this.
I can't commit that far.
I can. I ain't got nothing going on.
I don't know what I'm doing in 20 years from now.
I do. This podcast.
It's like that comedian that we heard one time where they send you a wedding invitation. And they're like, what will you like in this wedding 2 years from now? Chicken or steak?
I don't know. Saturday, May 4th, 2020. You know what? I'm going to be in the mood for chicken.
I'm going to get some chicken.
I just don't get that.
So I don't want to commit to 20 years, but who knows? Maybe we will. Okay, so back on track.
Mardi Gras,
you used to do parades.
I used to do parades. They're super grueling, but they're super fun. And you do get a different sense of camaraderie for high schoolers, especially if you're approaching your senior year in high school. It's just another level. If you're on dance team or flag team or you're in the band, you do the football games and the basketball games and all that. But when Mardi Gras comes around, it's something special, you know, mainly just for the city. Now, there are other schools that come in from other locations that march,
yeah.
But it's mainly local. So it's something special that the local kids get to do.
And, like, you know which ones are the really good ones because you're like, oh, this school is the best. Like, you would point out, like, they really got their stuff together. They're going to give an awesome show. And they usually do. I hate when we miss the bands. Like, sometimes you miss the tail end of the band.
They're coming by too fast.
Yeah, they're coming by too fast because they're speeding up the parade.
Because the guy in the pooper scooper finally moved the heck out of the way and the whole parade has to catch up now.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say about Mardi Gras that I remember was you really enjoyed catching beads initially. And I was putting them all on my neck till I couldn't feel like my neck. I was like drooping forward.
And I said, girl, what are you? Because sometimes I call George girl. I said, girl, what are you doing? Your neck is going to be sweaty and multicolored because the bead colors is going to rub all off on your sweaty neck. And they smell. So what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't remember the smell because I got a bad sense of smell. I'll let you deal with that. But the part that I remember was really early on, you then don't want to catch normal beads anymore. If something lights up or if something looks big, you almost like, you know, jump over people and claw at different kind of beads because you want the really nice ones.
Right. If you get a little skimpy pair of beads, you got to make eye contact with the person on that float and look at them like, what is this? Trash.
And people go crazy. They could be holding like a $2 sword thing, and foam sword, and people are like, me, I want that, throw it to me. I guess it's just the thrill of catching something. And you get into that mindset, and every year I know it's kind of silly looking back, and I keep it, and then like the next day I'm like, what am I doing with all this stuff?
Yeah, what am I doing with this little stuffed dolphin? What am I going to do with this? But, you know, I've gotten to where I make personal judgments about the people on the floats. Like, there's that guy on the last float that by the time he makes it to you, he's just like, I'm out. I don't have anything left. I'm out. And he's throwing his hands up in the air, showing you that he's out. Nothing. He's got nothing up his sleeves, right? He's really out of beads. And I'm just like, I bet your personal finances aren't in order. Like,
prepare for this, did you?
I start to make personal judgments, yeah, you know, and that. I gotta snap out of it.
Yeah, you gotta.
But I do want to reiterate, though, if you're out there and you're thinking of coming to Mardi Gras, it's a really fun time, but like George said, it's family friendly. There's not a bunch of floozy girls out there. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some, but it's not everywhere where people are just engaging in debauchery all the time. It's family friendly.
And look, New Orleans pays us no money for this promotion now.
In fact, we pay taxes.
Yeah, we're paying New Orleans to convince you to come to New Orleans, but definitely worth coming. It's very safe somewhere. You got to just be smart about, like, in any place where you go. And all these family friendly. So if you love football, if you have a team from another town who wants to dare come to the Superdome to play us, it's worth coming down.
If you love food. Oh, yeah. If you love food.
And then Mardi Gras is three super highlights.
And music.
And music. You love music. Yeah, music too. Music I'm not like overly big on. Mm-hmm. Like I like going to the jazz, but I that's not my destination. I think those first three would be something that I'd get excited
about. For music lovers, you already know this is the birthplace of jazz. So, skiddly bop bop. You're going to love that.
Skiddly bop. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of Currently with George and Donna, where we apparently try to convince you to come to New Orleans and have a good time out here. That's it. Next episode, we'll be talking about some different subjects. We're waiting on our new box for Hunter Killer, so once that gets in, that's going to be exciting to see how everything connects the dots.
And we'll give you those spoilers.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to have a spoiler episode for the first box, where if you are planning on doing it, do not listen to that. Fair warning.
Yeah, we'll give you a heads up.
Well, thank you for joining us. Bye, babies.
Bye, babies.